As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Chapter 8, verse 28, the Epistle to the Romans. This is one of the most wonderful words to be found in the wonderful Word of God, and it sets forth what is a foundation truth. And if you and I are to view the dealings of God with us aright, then we must, as grace is given, stand on a foundation truth and look around on the dealings of God with us. You will remember the hymn writer says, "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled." And now the Apostle Paul, in this beautiful chapter, makes this great declaration. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you and I possess this knowledge? Do we know? If we do, and I do humbly hope quite a few of us do, but I am bound to tell you this to be faithful, that while we do possess this knowledge, we hold it, as I have said, as a foundation truth. Do we reduce it to practice? Look at some of the things along life's way at the present time. Things which may be you have burden in your mind as you are here before God in the attitude of worship, and you are thinking your own thoughts about these things. Your attitude is just the same as Jacob's was long ago. All these things are against me. Aye. But you are not standing on a foundation, truth, when you view the dealings of God like that. You are standing on a false premise. Therefore, your thoughts are not right thoughts of God or of his dealings. No, there is one word, it is only a little word in the spelling, in the text, but how wonderful it is, how comprehensive, beyond any preacher's ability to set it forth as it ought to be. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And now these things then, which are darkening your mind, churning you up, even while you were here before God, as I said, may be producing quite a deal of self-pity, and you more ready to murmur, fret and repine, than to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Oh, do ask God to help you to ponder this little word, all. Because these things that are troubling you are inside that little word, all. And we know. And you, some of you, you do know how you have viewed some things in your bygone experiences, when you felt then as you do now, it may be. But those things you can look back upon and see, instead of being, as Jacob said, all these things are against me, what did you prove? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. I will guarantee that if you tell the truth, and you really ought to do that, and if you do, you will be able to tell that some of your highest heaps, your outstanding waymarks, you have set up in those things that when they came on you at first, you looked askance at them and felt it seemed to be an impossibility that there could be any good in those things. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom, his great love, so overruled them that you could say, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And now, dear friends, the subject is great, and the time is limited, but I would look at it, as grace is given, from three viewpoints of it, and also just a little at what is the setting of it. And now, it is a matter of great importance that you should remember that in this great word there is a specific people addressed, them that love God. Do you? Them who are the called according to his purpose. Can it be said of you and the preacher too? Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, as was said in the opening chapter to this epistle to the Romans. Everything hinges on whether you and I are the characters referred to. Then the second viewpoint is the consolation. When all is said and done, it is everlasting consolation. Oh, sometimes when you look at things as they come upon you or yours, and everything seems so crisscross and in such a tangle, all that are crooked things, rough places, mountains that need to be leveled and no human power can do it. And yet, you can live in the midst of it and see the hand of God upon you for good. And you can say this, since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine is food. Hey, and you can go on, though painful it present, to cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant the conqueror's song. What does Paul say here? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There is in this word also a third viewpoint which I would like you to know something about in your own soul's experience. Many of you do know, but not so much as I should like you to do, and that I should like to know, whereby you could do as I said at the outset, live in the light of this truth, and reduce what you do know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to reduce it to practice. And if you should be helped to do that, and you know you sing about it, hoard up the sacred word and feed thereon and grow. Go on to seek to know the Lord and practice what you know. And now, if you and I could get grace to do that, and that grace is obtainable, what would happen if you lived your life deeper down in the light of this knowledge? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Whatever came into your life, you would realize his purpose is in it. And he says of you, them that love God, I will set mine eyes upon them to do them good. And that is the underlying purpose of all the dealings of God with you and the preacher too. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, and there's a plenty of it to consume, thy gold to refine. And if, oh, you can see just the glint of the grain of gold and say, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, how good that is. There is just one other word I want to say. If you could, and if I could too, reduce this truth to practice, you would live inside a word you do not very often live in. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice ye saints in every state. Every state. Divine decrees remain unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And now going back to what I said, I like that illustration of this being a foundation truth, and if you by living faith can stand on it, then you can look round the world with all that is happening in it, with the devil working overtime and hell itself let loose. You can come closer home and look round the land that you and I live in and see the lawlessness abounding from Land's End to John o' Groat's, and how far England as a nation has departed from God and godliness. But if you stand on this beautiful foundation truth, you can look above it all and beyond it and see the Lord reigneth in heaven and earth and air and seas. He executes his firm decrees. And though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. But best of all, you will be able to look around at the dealings of God with you and yours, and you will have a right viewpoint of them. And although there may be some things hard to be understood in how he deals with you and yours, you will be able to say, it is the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. And now let us look at this subject then from these viewpoints I just hinted at. There are one or two words you need especially to ask God to help you to understand aright. Not only that little word, all things, be they things which you judge to be good in their nature, spiritual things, or be they things that emanate from hell, or the ill and evil of our own deceitful hearts, evil things, all are included in this wonderful word, all. And there are some scriptures that will ratify that. And here is a lovely scripture which will do it. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but what we do see, with faith as a grain of mustard seed, is that Jesus Christ is on his throne, and there he is, as you read again in that same epistle to the Hebrews, where it is said that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. All the wickedness abounding in the world at the present time is under the restraining power of God. Do remember that. Otherwise you may be filled with fears and faintings as to what the future holds in store. The wrath of man shall praise thee. And what is happening in the world is this, that the devil knows he has but a short time wherein he can still do his hellish work. And as I said, he is working overtime to do all he can. But in this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And now, leaving the general viewpoint of this truth, let us come to that which is to do with you and the preacher too, as we live our everyday lives. Our great concern should be to see and realize in our soul's experience the good that all things work together to do for us as God carries on his good work in us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And now here, to help you to understand it aright, you must not think your own thoughts. Consider who the worker is. And in Isaiah you read, I will work, and who shall let it? Margin reading, who shall hinder it? The worker is He who is infinite in wisdom, excellent in power, wonderful in working. And it says, He faileth not. Then that helps you to stand on a foundation truth, realizing the Lord reigneth on your behalf, and that He reigns on a throne of grace, where His holy majesty is approachable. And we know that all things work together. Now look at that word together. If you look at some things as they seem to be working, you may not be able to understand the why and wherefore, because you are looking at those things working alone. But underneath, there is His purpose. If you and I belong to them that love God, do we? Them who are the called according to His purpose, then you find, as you journey on, there is an overruling providence that wisely marshals every circumstance. Let us look at it just a little from that viewpoint, going a little farther on into this line of things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I said, think of who the worker is. And who is He? There is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Augustine would have said, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal, and not three eternals, but one eternal. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And now, here is the worker, there is the Father. And for all these people in the text, them that love God, He is a Father. You may not yet have realized your relationship as you would like to do, but if you are a sinner born again, there is no question whatever but what you have a warrant to approach God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You have to wait quite a while before your little babes grow up enough to use that word, Father. But I will tell you this, you let the Father come into the room as He returns from work at a mealtime and see if the babe does not recognize Him to be His Father. Yes, yes. Some of you are saying, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine? May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine? Poor sinner, the Lord bless you. You're interested in this wondrous relationship. And you shall know to your soul's joy, your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of. And remember, that is another subject which brings in another viewpoint. What things ye have need of. And now that does not only mean what things you need in everyday life, that your table may be spread and your back be clothed and your feet shod and you be provided with life's necessities. No, no. Your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of, and if He sees there is a need be that you, being a child of His, should be chastened, He will supply that need. Yes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And one thing in connection with this good is, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity. Yes, sanctified trouble is that good, and it is a great mercy to be able to look back over the way God has led us and see when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, that he has been our helper, and it has been for our good. Yes, and now let us get back to the Father and his work. All things work together for good. Now the Father is at work, speaking with great reverence. He was at work before time was born or the world was built. Even before those words were penned by divine inspiration by Moses, in the beginning God. And before then, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Saviour said to his disciples, a beautiful scripture it is, the Father himself loveth you. Yes. And remember, it was the Father who ordained that number which no man can number in the covenant of grace to be saved with an everlasting salvation. What a work it really was. And when you think of the Father working out how love's redeeming work must be done, oh, the Father in doing that did all that he could do. Here you see it set forth. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And now the Father is still working. Blessed be his name. What does he do? Speaking with great reverence, I say. The Father is ever receiving returning prodigals. He is ever on the lookout with his all-seeing eyes to see where'er there is a prodigal who is in want and who finds something living and moving in his breast which causes him to say, in my Father's house there is bread enough and to spare. I will arise and go unto my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Ay, but look at the lovely picture. While he was yet a long way off, the Father saw him. Yes. And he ran. And if you are a returning prodigal, you can be sure in your returning, the Father is on the way to meet you with just the same welcome. Yes. The Father fell on the prodigal's neck and kissed him. Oh, he gave him a wondrous welcome. Such is the love of God, the Father. The Father works. Then, I must hasten on. The dear Son of God, he works too. He came down into this world at the time appointed to do love's redeeming work. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What a great work it really was, altogether beyond our comprehension. All you and I can do is to seek divine aid to appreciate it and to seek for a living interest therein. But from the cradle to the cross, it was a tremendous work. Our sins, a hell procured, and he that hell endured. Oh, he lived his lovely, holy life under the law and kept it in every jot and tittle, and became, as the word of God declares, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one which believeth. And having done love's redeeming work, he ascended up on high, and there he still works. And what is his work? This man receiveth sinners. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There he is. He shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that would condemn his soul. And in his blessed heart, there is that great concern. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Yes. None will e'er be lost on whose behalf the dear Saviour came down into this world to seek and to save. The dear Son of God works then. The Spirit of God. Oh, how he works. Would you have a proof of it? Look at your holy Bibles and say thank you to God that the Holy Spirit did work for over 1600 years, gathering together all that is recorded therein, collating it. Yes, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God spake all these words. Never let that truth go. The Holy Bible, book divine. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Therefore we put the adjective holy on it. You dare not put it on any other book beneath the sun. But it must be put on the Bible, because God spake all these words, as I said, and that is his work. Do you always realize that truth when you pick up the Holy Bible to look into it? The written word with reverence, treat. Join prayer with each inspection, says Joseph Hart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Eh, but what other work does the Holy Spirit do? He is at work all day, all night. With him there is no day, no night, one eternal now. But this word is fulfilled. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. Even this Sabbath day, worldwide, the Holy Spirit is at work with hundreds, thousands, millions. He is carrying on the good work which he has begun. According to that pattern, God has ordained in the word of his grace, causing all sinners so born again to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord, in their lips and lives. But he is also at work convincing poor sinners of their sin, so that we may say every day, every night, every hour, oh, but we must come down. Every minute, every moment, worldwide, there are poor sinners being born again because the Holy Spirit is at work. And these people, ordained before time began, to be numbered with them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose, the Holy Spirit is fulfilling that work and bringing it to pass. And he overlooks none. He will not overlook you. If you were found in secret places, waiting on God, waiting for God, with your petition, lead me into thy truth and teach me. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. You see, dear friends, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, is at work. Therefore, you need not fear the future, however dark the outlook may be. There may be very ominous clouds on the horizon, and there are. Aye, but for you. Poor sinners, having the great mercy to be numbered with the people in the text, what saith the scriptures? I do set my bow in the cloud for you, to be of good courage and be comforted, and not to forget, in every state secure, kept as Jehovah's eye, 'tis well with them while life endure, and well when called to die. What a beautiful gospel our gospel is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And now look at these things. There are afflictions. And when afflictions are laid on us, it may be the flesh will react to it. As a rule, it does. And you think your own thoughts about it. And maybe your thoughts are that you would, if you could, have escaped it, avoided it. Aye, but then you have got to learn. The fictitious power of chance and fortune I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to God's eye. And here is this affliction, whatever its nature, come on you or yours. And it has not come by chance. What has it come for then? It is come that God shall overrule it for your good. I might amplify that and say, it is come that you might get some answers to your prayers, whereby you have been asking God to give you some religion that would do to live by and die by. And now here is some affliction laid on you, and in it, as it works together for good, you will come out of it in God's good time. And oh, how glad you will be that affliction was laid on you, because you realize the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. It may not be afflictions that come. It may be adversities. Oh, the day of adversity is set over against the day of prosperity. And there are many thousands in the land you and I are living in who are shortly going to be made aware of that. I mean people in our own denominational life and other people taught of God, wherever they may be. The day of adversity is on us. What has been called a day of prosperity is dying, vanishing, and people are being brought right down to bedrock truth, reality. But to the people in the text, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And whatever these adversities may mean for you, you will see the good inasmuch as they will bring you near to God and to learn deeper down, maybe than ever before, He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Should poverty or loss of all created good conspire to make our weighty cross, our helper still is God. Yes. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. There may be persecutions, and be sure of this, there are persecutions right in many lands in the world at the present time, where people taught of God have to live their lives as displaced persons and live in very difficult circumstances, and yet they find there is good wrought in their souls, even though they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It may be you come into heaviness through manifold temptations, and when you seem to be in Satan's sieve and can hardly tell what you are or where you are in things divine, you cannot see how there can be any good in it. Hey, but you must be still and wait the working together of what God purposes to do. Think of Peter long ago, who went into Satan's sieve. Quite an outsized Peter. Aye, but he came out a very wee Peter, just the right size Peter to go forth and preach the gospel on the day of Pentecost. And you will find what though Satan's strong temptations vex and tease you day by day, and thy sinful inclinations often fill you with dismay, thou shalt conquer through the Lamb's redeeming blood. Much might be said along that line of thought. There are these things, all things. And what will help you to understand these all things? You see, in the epistle to the Corinthians. And now says Paul to the godly Corinthians, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. There you get this word all again, without any limitation. You must not put any limitation to it. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that is to say, all whom God ordains to preach the gospel, God sends them wherever they labor on Zion's walls, that you shall encourage your souls in God. The gospel itself and they that preach it are yours. And now he goes on. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. You see then, dear friends, you need not be fearful-hearted at what you see abroad in the world at the present time, as though there was no help in God and no hope in God, because there is. The world is yours. It is not being run by the devil and his minions from hell. No. neither are the worldlings who dwell on the earth running it, as they think they will have it to be run. Because God will say, I will overturn, 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 until he come, whose right it is, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what did Jesus say? And remember, it was said to you, if you belong to them that love God, them who are the called according to his purpose, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes. You need not be over anxious about tomorrow. Life or death, things present, reduce it to your own everyday life as things present are with you. And they may not be as you would like them to be, but still, underneath, God is at work. And these things are working together with what God's purpose is. That in the ultimate issue, you shall see. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Things present, things to come, all are yours. And now, come into the Amen. We know. And now, what is this knowledge? It is just twofold. We do know by what the Word of God declares. Because if you are helped to search the Scriptures and weigh these things up, you will not find at any time, anywhere, where any purpose of God went awry. The thing is impossible. Let it be unthinkable. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We know. Oh, blessed knowledge. And those things that at the present time burden you, if you are helped to look into the Word of God, you will see there is light. Light in the sacred pages to encourage you. And help you to feel, when we cannot see our way, let us trust and still obey. He who bids us forward go, will not fail the way to show. Eh, but then, there is another viewpoint of this knowledge, and very important too. Not only do we know by what the Word of God tells us, dear friends, do you suffer this word of exhortation? Go back over the way God has led you and ponder his dealings with you and see how many a time, like Manoah and his wife, you have looked on and seen the Lord do wondrously for you in providence and in grace. And now that knowledge is experimental knowledge, and it should bring you to this. Thy love in times past forbids me to think. Thou wilt leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms thy good pleasure to carry me right through. Yes, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And remember, this good may not be temporal good to do with time things. It will be spiritual good, yes, and it will be eternal good. It will separate you from the world. It will bring you to search and try your ways and turn again unto the Lord. It will strip you of all that which you will be well rid of. What is to do with the flesh and not the spirit? It will help you to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Aye, but it will establish you in the things of God and in your own interest therein. And it will instruct you in righteousness. And you will come to that sweet blessed conclusion. We are traveling home to God in the way our fathers trod. They are happy now, and we hope their happiness to see. Amen.